Hey, what's going on with y'all, man? I know y'all weren't expecting to hear that as soon as the video started, but y'all already know what's going on, man. We're coming back with another video on a Sunday, as always, kicking off the new year. So y'all already know what's going on, man. Look, I really just wanted to come in real quick just to tell y'all, you know, this is going to be kind of like a compilation type video. It's going to be a bunch of clips, just a bunch of clips about the industry. I guess we could call this the industry exposed, you know, so that's why I wanted to come in and let y'all know what y'all was about to be watching, because I'm not going to come in at the end of the video. I'm just going to let the video speak for itself. We revisit a few topics, and some of this stuff could be fresh to some of y'all. I don't know. Majority of the video comes from Yash Kara, the speaker that most of y'all are already, you know, y'all already hip to. Y'all already know who he is. So I just wanted to put together a bunch of clips, man, and call it Industry Exposed, and just, you know, go down a few topics that we've kind of touched on before that we didn't really go too deep on. And yeah, I just thought it would be a good video to drop this Sunday. Y'all already know what's going on with that. I'm still going to drop basically the part two to the last video that I posted. I'm gonna put that on Patreon, so that video will be exclusive to Patreon. As I said before, should have that up like in the next day or two. So that's that, man. I hope y'all enjoyed this video. I hope y'all had a good weekend. Hope y'all have an even better week that's coming up. With that being said, check this out.
Once upon a time, it was a great thing to have talent. It is almost inevitable that your talent absolutely means nothing. You see, talent was all you needed at one given time before man put his spell on a thing called entertainment. Nowadays, it's a bit demonic. Well, the word entertainment itself is demonic. Let me explain this. Marriage that is proposed to you, but don't think it's about a woman. It's about a soul for sale. Yes, that's right, because your soul is married to the game. The game is the music business, entertainment, sports, whatever. See, they're gonna shake your hand, but what you don't understand is you're being welcomed to fame and lies. And it's always a guy in a nice suit to come around as clean shave and tell you the do's and don'ts, just to see where your head's at. And he's going to advise you of a letter that will be arriving, but he probably want to hand it to you because it's personal. Why is it personal? Because the letter is going to be an opportunity for you, but it's not any kind of letter or contract. It's a contract of blood offering. That's right. They want you to sign your name in blood because you have been chosen by the brotherhood. And without hesitation, you sign. And you're so ecstatic. Your name is all over MTV, BET. You're excited. But you're not done. Because see, after that, they're going to invite you to the lodge. And during the lodge presentation, they're going to tell you the do's and don'ts. They're going to tell you to keep your mouth shut. And if you should adhere to this and tell anyone the secrets, your tongue could be removed. Your eyes could be gouged. Or your neck could be slit. So, what do? You leave out of there with a bonus check. But to remind you, as you're walking out the door, beware, all ye who enters. There's usually about four different stages before you get inside. Now, this is a beautiful sister, right? Usually, this is how you look when you first get signed. You look ecstatic, refreshing. At about a year, you turn into this. Your face starts to change because your soul is being sucked out of you. Now, you don't notice this at all because you're trying to keep up with them. You think it's their fashion style, but really, it's what they endure when they sign with the industry. As they go on, and 1 year becomes two, and three becomes four, their soul is totally gone. When they look in the mirror, they can see things you don't see. They see demons, like Whitney Houston saw demons. But to the public, they look like this. And you notice, every year they look more deranged. They look more hard. They look more spaced out. Look at Nicki Minaj. This fits her like a glove. You had no idea these transitions and what they're going through because they sold their soul. We're not making these things up. We're just bringing them out. You see ads like this all the time with the one eye. And then you have females to put the hair and the eye, starting with Aaliyah. Well, they're explaining about the all-seeing eye. Goes back to Egyptology, gods, and Osirises, and Kabbalahs. You have no idea what you're doing, but you're mimicking something very satanic and evil. I don't know how many times when I was coming up, I saw a finger over the lips. I just thought that was being cute for be quiet. But in the world of entertainment, it means never tell the secrets. Now our black people have adopted these rituals because they want to be like their counterparts. Yes, I said counterparts, because this was never for us. We was already upright, righteous folks. We led the way, but now we're slipped because we want to be a part of this world called America's, and we want to be rich. To be rich, you have to believe in a dream. And once they can get you believe in a dream, man, it's all downhill. The book of the Apocrypha tells us dreams are for fools. But you can't wait to stand in line for the American Idol, X Factor, America Has Talent. It's all just hoorah. You had no idea that it's about really satanicism, signing your name in blood. And for the women, they use you so bad, you have no idea what they're going to do to you once you get behind the scenes. Wow.
Industry, like, you could really buy these niggas loyalty. I'm Brim, you know what I'm saying? I'm a hat girl. I've been checking Brim since I was fucking 16, and I took an oath when I was 16, and loyalty means so much to me, and loyalty should mean so much to anybody. Because let's say if the devil comes to you, right, and tell you, I'll give you $100 million, but I want you to turn your back on God. Would you turn your back on God, or will you take that $100 million? Me personally, I would turn that $100 million because loyalty to my God, loyalty to my people, loyalty is so important to me. But evidently, it's not loyal. Ain't no loyalty to these niggas. These niggas, a bitch with a bigger clout, or a nigga with a bigger clout, bump through your way and they dick get hard or they pussy get wet. Like, this industry that I'm in is so fake, it's so whack, and it's so hard for me to adapt to because I'm not used to this shit, my nigga. I'm not used to this. I'm used to living my life under an oath. Like, I've been living under oath ever since I was 16. I've been living under laws, on my fine nine brim laws, on laws of life, since I was a youngin'. So when people do funny shit to me, it's either I eliminate them or my heart gets broken. And it breaks my heart because for a long time, nobody did some unloyal shit. And I see people, a lot of unloyal shit. This shit is wild whack to me. Like, I really hate this industry. Like, I hate this industry so much, but I gotta fight it and I gotta deal with it because I wanna show these niggas my talent. If y'all niggas search my high school, or if y'all ask anybody that I went to high school, if they will tell you, like, I always been a bitch that been into music. The high school I went to was called Renaissance High School for Music, Theater, and Technology. I always been in that shit. People think that it's new to me, but it was never new to me. It's just some certain shit that you never really talked about. Like, people only know 15% of me. People don't really know the real me. Like, a lot of people, a lot of my followers don't know that I've been jacking from since I was 16. A lot of niggas don't know that I went to school for music. A lot of people don't know a lot of shit from me. Like, nothing at all. People think I'm just very out there, but I'm really not. I'm actually very low-key. That's what comes. I'm very low-key because I'm a Libra. You know what I'm saying? And it's so whack, like, now that I'm here, now that I'm considered a musician, it's so crazy how these bitches and these niggas that I looked up to, they're trying to crush my mic. And these are people that I used to look up to, used to listen to their record, used to be like, damn, I wish I could make a song with him and her. Damn, I wish I could make a song with her. I wish I could make a song with him. Yo, they album is so fire. It's the same people that now that I'm in the industry is dead ass try to crush my mic. And that's some whack shit, my nigga. That's some real whack shit. Like, I'm so highly disappointed and hurt. I'm so hurt that the niggas that you fucking laid down with, they not even the niggas that you could even talk to. They the niggas, they your ops, my nigga. Everybody in this industry is a op. They only looking out for themselves. They not looking out for you or nobody. Yeah, I'm on live, bro.
Are you venting?
Yeah, I'm venting, bro. I'm fucking drunk as shit.
Hi, people.
I really hate this shit, yo. I really, really do. Like, a bitch like me, I was happier when I was macking in the hood. Like, this shit right here is so fake. And you wanna know something? When I used to be a regular bitch from the Bronx, a hood bitch, when somebody used to be fake to me, it was cool because I could approach a bitch and punch her right in her closure. Or like, if a nigga had beef with me, I could send my niggas and pop them. But now that I'm in the industry, you don't work like that. You just gotta, like, fucking watch it go. Like, you gotta see people play you and you just say nothing like a dick. And that shit is so whack, my nigga. Like, that shit really be breaking my heart. Because the people, the idols, your idols dead ass become rivals. And that shit is so whack because it's like, damn, my nigga, why the fuck it gotta be like that, my nigga? That shit is some whack shit, my nigga. Like, bitch, I used to look up to you, bitch. Damn, nigga, I used to look up to you, but y'all some whack ass niggas. All y'all niggas is whack. All y'all niggas is fucking. Y'all niggas is like fake. Y'all niggas ain't about that life. Y'all niggas ain't real. Y'all niggas is some whack niggas, bro. Y'all niggas went through the same struggle as me and acting like y'all didn't. That shit is whack, my nigga. I hate that shit. I really hate this fucking fake ass life. Like, I'm grateful to, you know, experience all of this. But then again, nah.
I mean, that's what happens with success, though, man.
Fuck success, my nigga. I'd rather have no success but have real niggas around me.
Yeah.
I mean, I still got real niggas around me. My primes are still real to me. But, like, these people that be coming to me, my nigga, and sucking my dick, they mad fake. All these niggas that wanna fuck me, all these bitches that wanna hee-ha-ha with me. I never was doing that when I was a stripper. So get the fuck out my face with that shit, my nigga. Everybody wanna suck my dick now because I'm a fake-ass somebody. And everybody be like, oh yeah, Cardi, I love you, I fuck with you. But y'all dead-ass wishing my fucking mic was crushed. But it's not gonna happen.
I gotta tell y'all, as I told y'all in 2002, and y'all ain't believe me. I told y'all that nigga was a crab, and y'all ain't believe me. You know what I'm saying? How many accounts got to come up? Dame, Biggs, R. Kelly, Kiss, Beans. I mean, the list go on. That nigga's a crab. It ain't no hate involved, but you know, you gonna see. Still biting my staff. Jazz O's the best. Secret Society with Jay-Z, man. He's involved with this shit, man. He involved with that play shit. Like, see, people don't understand the science behind Satan, Lucifer, and God. And if you notice, he calls himself Jehovah or Hove. And before they start retranslating, you know, the new American version of the Bible, you know, Jehovah was known as a jealous God in the Bible. But I'm going to give people the simple and general overstanding. That all of those people, many of those prophets in the Bible, and even when you talk about these different deities in the Bible, they were not people. Even when you go into the Egyptian pantheon, like, they weren't people. But as far as homeboy, like, it's really a bunch of Masons. See, the whole Freemason thing is based on a lower level of understanding. Like, the real secrets have never been revealed. They weren't supposed to be revealed. So all these people, they walking around like they know something for real, but they don't really know shit. you know, and he doing those little signs and all of that. Those are symbols that have been out there. They've been propagating them shits for a few thousand years. But number one, anybody who knows how magic knows that those shits don't have any power anymore. Number two, you know, everybody knows what they basically mean, like the understanding of it. Like, you know, as far as pyramid and stuff like that, that I'm not really going to go into. But I'm saying that simply to say that dude think he knows shit, but he still don't know shit. He could get as many degrees as he want, but it's just like trying to get all the degrees you want, but you still got a ceiling. He can't go but so high because the people that he worshiping, that he kissing their ass and letting them fill them up and shit, they don't know shit. They trying to find out every day from us. That's why they follow hip-hop. That's why they follow the blues. That's why they follow soul. That nigga's nothing. That's my son, unfortunately.
Quick transition. You see, he has he's Mr. Knowles. He got that pass.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Pretty
so
much,
it's like,
yeah.
Now you know that this. Initially, Oprah would tell Beyonce not to mention him.
Right.
In your interview.
Right.
And then it changed to, you know what? They married. Things are smoothed out.
He's a Knowles.
You rock the
Knowles
Urkel
now.
Glasses for 6 months.
You are so stupid.
The glasses equates to intelligence, non confrontational vibe. It makes you safe.
No, it's true. We laugh, but it's true.
You know?
Do you believe that? Do you believe he's down with some sort of secret society?
Well, I believe he's in now, like with a different crowd. So he can't even write the same music that would impact. He can't write Crime Wave. He got to make an excuse to write the aggressive content that we know him for. Like, so when he does American Gangster, he got to say it's because I saw the film and I was motivated and I wrote it in 3 days.
Right.
Instead of saying, this is how I'm thinking.
Have you ever been approached by the secret society that when a rapper, and I'm talking about when musicians, black artists reach a certain level, the secret society still wants to infiltrate and control the minds of our youth? And so they incorporate you into the secret society, and so secretly you put out messages, and you don't go against their grain. But you,
yeah.
It's like you're dressed like us, but you speak for them.
But you, if you see, like, I haven't been approached by anybody like that. I know that there's a point where they have like different expectations of you.
Mm-hmm.
Like Jay, when they do My President is Black, they go, he knows better than that, but they don't say nothing about Jeezy. You see what I'm saying? Being on the same song. Because they look at him like he doesn't know better than that.
Okay.
You know, and it's a point where you, where some artists start to want to be something different.
We need to explain why this man is doing a lot of tours overseas. You see, the truth of the matter is, there's a lot of righteous folks overseas. And in this tour, he's trying to hoodwink you. We'll explain. Well, when he goes overseas to tour, he brings the all-seeing eye. And what most folks don't understand, those lines that you see in the seeing eye, they're subliminal. They put you in spells. You ever came out of a concert and felt high, and kind of half lightheaded? Well, you've been unsubliminal because the average person knows nothing about righteousness and they have no idea about the scriptures. So when you are empty and have no light, it's easy for spirits to take you over. Prince is a demonic Jehovah devil set up by design. What a lot of people don't understand is that Jimi Hendrix was extremely talented, but never gave in to the brotherhood, never signed his name in blood, nor did he accept the oath. Jimmy just was a man who loved to play music. He signed with anybody who had a contract, something that his manager hated about him, and his manager also had him executed. You see, Jimmy did not accept the powers that be, so they put a tube down his throat and forced alcohol into his system, causing alcohol poisoning, making it look like he regurgitated off his own vomit when they killed him because he wouldn't accept the brotherhood. Laid his body on his side and put a bottle of wine next to it and said, well, he did it to himself. Some of his closest mentors who came to the funeral as Miles Davis knew the truth. Janis Joplin also knew the truth too. She also paid for her life because she was getting ready to expose why Jimmy was killed. So they took her life. We'll explain her clip as it's coming up. You notice how they're carrying Jimmy's coffin, or should we say casket, because Jimmy wasn't part of the Brotherhood. We're also going to explain, as the film rolls, there's a different level of sacrifice. Whenever you see a casket on the shoulders of man who's carrying you out, you will sacrifice to the brotherhood. We'll explain that as the film continues. Jimi Hendrix was a brother who just loved playing music. That was it. They killed him because he wouldn't accept the oath or the traditions of the brotherhood. And that's just the honest God truth. Jimi Hendrix was a brother who never accepted Satan's world. Janis Joplin was very close niche friends with Jimi Hendrix. She also knew that Jimi did not take his own life as far as choking on vomit after drinking. She knew that Jimi was alcohol poisoned by his former manager, who did not like Jimi because Jimi had a bad habit of signing with anyone with a recording label, and he did not accept the oath. Janis was talking about this among fellow musicians whom she could not express enough to. Meanwhile, they would go behind her back and tell Jimi Hendrix's former manager what Janis was talking about. So Janis was getting prepared in 1970 for a concert in a hotel. As they went to check on her, the goons have already been in her room and gave her an overdose of heroin. Janis Joplin was getting ready to blow the whistle on Jimi Hendrix's death, and they could not have that, so they killed her. No one knew why someone wanted to kill Otis Redding. As his body lay slumped in the pier where the fishermen fish, they had to hook line his body out the water, as you see here. Otis was beaten to death because he and James Brown was getting ready to orchestrate a distribution deal for black music. It's the same thing Damon Dash did with Suge Knight, and they took their riches. Well, back in those days, this thing was unheard of, and still today. So they killed him. They beat him. Now, you're probably asking yourself, why not James Brown, too? Because they felt like James Brown would be more profitable. So they made James a deal. James accepted the oath. Otis Redding was a big man, so they couldn't come to him by themselves. They came with a few people. They caught him off guard, they beat him to death, and threw him in the pier. James Brown lay motionless into the funeral because James knew why they took his friend's life. When they made James a deal, he did not back down, nor did he think about doing a distribution deal ever again. James took the oath, and he signed with the Brotherhood. Blood, that is. Meanwhile, Otis had his funeral. And you notice they're carrying his casket by the waist, indicating that he was not of brotherhood, nor did he sign his name in blood, nor was his life a sacrifice for anyone in the industry. But James Brown signed over his life to fulfill the legacy of the Brotherhood. Now, after James accepted the oath and accepted the Brotherhood, they let him rub elbows with none other than Al Sharpton. See, Al Sharpton gave in a long time ago. His job was to orchestrate to James about the BSing of the NAACP, the Black Caucus, so on and so forth. James Brown was shocked to hear the news, but nevertheless, James played the game and he played it well. Whenever there was an event of a rioting, of anything that was unjustified to blacks, they would call James to have a concert. So when you hear the song, Say It Loud, I'm Black and I'm Proud, you can only wonder, did he really mean it? Or was it a song to fulfill the brotherhood, to calm and ease the minds of black folk? I'll let that ponder while you guys think about what was just said. So when you hear the song, Say It Loud, I'm Black and I'm Proud, do it do you justice? Did you really get it? Some of you had no idea why James made that record. Now, if it's sincere, that's a great thing. But the song was used to calm the black folks down. So was James, because he accepted the oath of the Brotherhood. Whenever they have a situation that when black folks are being slaughtered in the streets, they call trumpet players, musicians, Harry Belafonte, Stevie Wonder, and they still do that today. That's why our people look for idolaters to solve our problems. These are just men in sheep clothing. James was a bad musician. He was a bad man when it came to music and dancing, but that's about all. We're not here to downplay it. We're only here to tell you the truth. that James was here to dumbfound you with his music. He never told you the truth. He was part of the Brotherhood. After he saw his friend die brutally, James got with the program. And when he's had a change of heart, they started making mockery of him. They started saying he was drunk. They started saying he was on this, he was on that. And James and Michael both knew the truth, what they'd done. They talked about it quite often, getting out, but they knew they couldn't. You can only blood out once you accept the oath. But some type, some way, they believed they could tell the people what was going on. James was the first they took in up to make Michael get back into gear, but it didn't work. As James lay motionless, they called his friend, his mentor, who gave him the ropes to begin with, Al Sharpton. Why did they call Al Sharpton? Because they wanted Al Sharpton to fulfill the role of an usher who cares about a human life to black folk. But when Al Sharpton got the news why they wanted him really there, to show support for the Brotherhood, Al Sharpton didn't hesitate. Al Sharpton knows this game and he knows it well. He played it better than any football player. He sits next to the coffin with his hands in a pyramid, letting his Brotherhood know, I'm here with James, but I'm not about the black and proud. I'm only here to fulfill a legacy, to make our people feel comfortable. I totally understand my role. Isn't that something? A man that sits before you, who's your mentor, and actually is a devil in sheep clothing. This man meant James Brown no good from the moment he met him. He was just using James to prolong his own life. Godfather of Soul, James Brown's son-in-law, Durin Chip Lamar, shot and killed. Why is that? You see, Durin knew the truth. He knew that his stepfather did not die of a cardiac arrest. James Brown was poisoned, and Durin was going to tell the truth. Investigators said that the shooter was waiting for Lamar, the neighborhood where Lamar lived in his gated community. When he drove up to park his car in the garage, he was confronted. An altercation of some sort took place. That's when the victim was shot multiple times, said police officer Eric Swartz. I think it was somebody that knew him, Swartz said. The witness said Lamar then got into a car and drove 4 miles to Northside Hospital, where he died. CBS 46 talked with Lamar in January 2007, only weeks after James Brown died Christmas Day 2006. Lamar said he felt his father-in-law's death was suspicious. There's not a bone in my body that believes my father-in-law died from congestive heart failure, Lamar said. Lamar questioned Brown's death because there was no autopsy. That is genius, because the Illuminati, who are the music industry, Clive Davis and all the rest of them, but Clive Davis being the ringleader of a black entertainment, gives orders to cover up everything. You understand? We'll talk more as we go along the way what Clive Davis is orchestrating. See, James Brown was taken out because he was getting tired. And as they get tired, they start telling. And they can't risk the fact that these celebrities will tell the truth on what they really do in the industry. Sam Cooke lie motionless, slumped over in a cheap motel room. They tell you that Sam Cooke died because he was trying to chase a prostitute into the manager's office to get his money that he felt like she'd taken from him. That is all hogwash. Sam Cooke was killed for his publishings. They came to Sam Cooke on several occasions to make a deal with him, to try to get him the reason to accept the Brotherhood and come on in like everyone else. Sam said, no, I'm my own man. I own my own publishing. Sam Cooke was beating to death. His blood, if you look to the left shoulder, is really trickling with blood from his head. They took an angle shot to make it look like he died from a gunshot wound. He died from trauma to the head. Sam Cooke's head was totally open. This also can be found in the book of Etta James. Beaten to death by gangsters because he wouldn't comply, much like Jimi Hendrix. But instead of giving him a drug overdose, they beat him down. The blood was dripping so bad it dripped all down his knee. Sam Cooke didn't comply with the powers that be. It was unheard of for a man to own his own publishings and own his own masters. So for this, Sam Cooke paid with his life. The beautiful thing is Sam Cooke was very spiritual. So let's hope the Most High have his soul asleep until judgment. Because he never took the oath and he never sold his soul. Nor did he write his name in blood. Sam Cooke is lying in there motionless so the people can see him in a glass casket. Sam Cooke's life was taken as an example of what they tell you you cannot do. They want to totally control you. They want to do everything to you and not for you. This is a lesson to be learned about the so-called industry. Luther Vandross, who was an exceptional singer, could sing anything. So why did he die so sudden? See, after Luther had a stroke, the industry felt like, hey, we have no more use for him. Remember what Chaka Khan said, you're worth more dead than alive. So the order went out. Now to prove to you that Luther was an order of an oath of brotherhood, we're going to show you his funeral casket as the slides continue. Luther Vandross sold out big time, wrote his name in blood. And isn't it interesting? At all funerals, they call the same trumpet players, the same musicians, the Dionne Warwicks, the Stevie Wonders, the Alicia Keys, the Patti LaBelle's. All these people have signed their name in blood. Did you know that? These folks are so wicked, they put the W in wicked. Talking about Luther, to let us know that he was our blood sacrifice, but the industry, remember I told you earlier about the caskets? Whenever they put a casket on top of the shoulders and cross the hands like they do, this is a clear indication that his life was a sacrifice for the industry. There's levels of sacrificing. Luther didn't sacrifice for someone to go up in the industry. He was sacrificed for the purpose of the industry so they can make millions. And they did. From the moment his die, all his greatest hits started to sell. And everything he didn't put out on his own, they made masters of it. This is what it's about, the brotherhood. Pay close attention to the casket on the shoulders.